Pablo Torre, just waking up. That's Mina Kimes. Let's get started with Highly Questionable. We just rustled him from bed, evidently.
Those were tears.
Bigger deal, how good the Nets looked or how atrocious the Warriors looked?
Okay, we can talk about the Warriors all season and figure out what Steph is going to be without Klay Thompson helping him spread the floor that way with a team that was among the best shooting we've ever seen. But the trolls are here, and please let the trolls be good. Please let Kevin Durant, I'm not talking about you two, I'm talking about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. They're saging the court. They're bringing attention to themselves at every turn. Please let them be a villainous kind of great because they're healthy, because they shoot right to the top of that conference and right to the top of us being interested in what's happening at the top of that conference if that team is good.
The Nets looked so good. Now it was against the Warriors team that looked like maybe they should consider actually getting two lottery picks in the next draft. They have the T-Wolves pick and they have their own. They could be really bad. They might just want to lean into being real bad. But Dan, what I was most fascinated by was Kyrie Irving in an interview after the game, because here's what he said. He said, I don't need to play hero ball anymore. I don't need to be all NBA. I don't need to be an MVP. He just wants to be like Kevin Durant's sidekick. And for him to say that after a game in which Kevin Durant played the team in which he could feel none of those things, it just reinforces that actually Kyrie Irving has been communicating for an audience of one this entire time. And if you're Kevin Durant, this one game is exactly how you want all the other 81 games to go, even down to the post-game interviews.
That quote is spectacular because, as Dan said when he called them the Brooklyn Trolls, this entire season reads as a massive subtweet of LeBron James. Like, it's fantastic for basketball because amidst the saging and the Steve Nash comments and the Kyrie of it all, we forgot that the Nets have two of the most devastating scorers in the history of the NBA. And if they are actually good, it's fantastic for the league. Like, yes, the Bucks are good, but Bucks Lakers doesn't have the spice, the juice potentially of Lakers Nets. And if we get that matchup, it will be a boon not only to Brooklyn and their fan base, but to the entire Take economy.
And let's be clear about something too. The Nets in this case are not just trolling like the media, not just trolling the Warriors. They're trolling everybody else Kyrie Irving once played with. Mina's right. Yes. LeBron James is hearing that and being like, okay, I wanted to play with that guy. That Kyrie Irving is the one who was so unbelievably good as my sidekick. Everyone on the Boston Celtics, everyone on the Cleveland Cavs, they're all like, wait a minute. If Kyrie Irving will lean into doing this, being the second guy, that guy is better suited to do that than as much as anybody you may have ever seen play basketball.
Pablo, don't forget, they're trolling you too, Knicks fan. They're trolling you as well because they're doing that within the noise. The noise, you can hear it just across the city. Knicks fans, that could have been yours. Instead, it plays in Brooklyn. And the first game hurts the most if you're a New York Knicks fan.
Just wait till Kevin Durant comes rolling through on a fixed gear bicycle.
What do James Harden's latest antics do to his relationship with the Rockets?
Okay, so you've got two different stories here. You've got James Harden on Instagram talking about, I was not at a strip club maskless. That might have looked like a strip club, and I was maskless and breaking NBA protocols, but I wasn't at a strip club when I was behaving recklessly. And now you have the Rockets home opener being nuked by the coronavirus and contact tracing. We don't know if those two things are linked. It wouldn't be surprising if they were linked. Either way, the circus in Houston has begun before the first game's even started. And I just imagine that the rest of James Harden's life is him in uniform. And you know those airplane walkways, the airport walkways that are really long? It's just a long, long one of, is that a strip club? Is it not a strip club? Let's discuss whether it's a strip club. His whole life is that, and then it spits him out and he scores 50 in a basketball game.
How are we here again? Like, in the bubble, as you guys probably remember, we had not just a day, days of discourse about whether Lou Williams was at a strip club, adjacent to a strip club, at the strip club for the Wings. And then this discourse is back only with James Harden. His excuse or reasoning on Instagram was that he was supporting a friend, which honestly is actually a pretty literal explanation of a lap dance, if you think about it. But I don't care about the strip clubness of it all. I care about the maskness and the public safety. And if he was doing that and potentially endangering people like Dwayne Haskins, he deserves criticism for it. I do find the timing rather interesting given his conflict with The Rock. I'm not throwing out conspiracy theories because it is James Harden and he probably did it. But Dan, what you described as a long walkway, you know, as a strip club, it does also seem like a long walkway headed out of Houston.
Yeah, I took that long walkway through Instagram, actually, because my favorite part of the story is that there was an NBA investigation. The NBA had to investigate something that, by the way, Twitter has thoroughly dissected. Like, you go to the Selective Group, the company in question, and yeah, they may not be at a strip club, but they do seem to be surrounded by people who could plausibly be confused for those who would be at a strip club. Like, this is not subtle. There are like those Instagram stories at the very top where there are like 50 tiny dots and you click through and you're like, wait a minute, where did this take place? And you have all of these people declaring and geotagging where and when exactly it took place. December 21st, the first annual winter party. It's very clear it must be this year. But beyond that, it all makes me think, James Harden, some large part of him, like, he's gonna miss Houston, right? Like, this is all Houston stuff he's doing right now. His friend, this club, this party, he is a man of his city. And some part of him has to be sad on the inside, knowing that he's going to leave, at the very least, that geographic proximity behind.
Pablo, you're absolutely right. But while James Harden will be sad to leave Houston, Houston's going to be sad to lose James Harden. Yeah, I mean, the man was walking stimulus, right, to this cottage industry. And now he's gone. His many dollar bills are gone with him.
Which stimulus was she speaking of there? That's an odd choice of word there.
I just want to clarify, stimulus package is an economic term that is in all sorts of textbooks.
He's made it worse. He's made it worse, but he's also right.
He also said a large part of James Harden will miss Houston.
Now you've crossed the line, Mina. Stop it.
Should we scoff at the Rams' chances against the Seahawks because they lost to the Jets last week?
All right, I'm just going to say it. I don't know if anyone else at the network is saying it. The Rams are weird, man. Like, that's a weird football team. I don't understand what happened to them against the Jets. You can argue that that's the worst loss we've seen from a team this entire season. Worse than Pittsburgh against Cincinnati, them losing to the Jets in that situation. But, and Mina can speak to this, loving the Seahawks the way she does, and they're always involved in close games. Aren't you scared of the Rams just because you got Aaron Donald in the middle of their defense attacking your quarterback and messing him up? And then on the other side of the ball, you assume they're going to be well-coached offensively. Jared Goff might end up torpedoing them, but I'd be scared of that offense all the time.
Yeah, Dan, you're absolutely right. Like, this game is basically a pick 'em, and it should be, because while the Rams did get beaten by the Jets, who the Seahawks steamrolled, it doesn't really matter as far as this particular matchup goes. The Rams have one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. The Seahawks' passing attack has been limited over the last month as defenses have sat back and dared them to not throw to DK Metcalf. But you're also right in that Jared Goff is the reason the Rams have these weird losses. Anything could happen, which is why, and I am talking to you, all degenerates who watch this show, don't bet on this game. Don't bet on the Seahawks. Like, if you're thinking about betting on the Seahawks ever right now, but especially in an NFC West game, take your dog, go for a walk, put your money in your pocket, then pull it out and let your dog defecate on it, because that's basically what you'd be doing. They are the weirdest team. I love team. I love them. I love them more than many things in my life, but I would never bet on them to win this game.
I just like how Mina is limiting the defecation protocol there to just the Seahawks. Like, why are any of you betting on the NFL in general, a sport where the alleged most complete team in the NFC in the Rams ends up losing to the Jets? A team like the Seahawks, Mina, to your point, though, like, it is very strange how Mr. Unlimited has been extraordinarily limited. Like, the first, I don't understand this, Mina, so please explain this to me, because in the first half, Russell Wilson was the guy just bombing 30-yard passes better than anybody else. In the second half of the season, he is 1-for-10 on those passes. He looks terrified in general. I don't know what happened to Russell Wilson. The Seahawks defense is a lot better, but they have never been able to put together the offense and the defense at the same time, because Russell Wilson looks incredibly strange. Also, what are the things on Mina's list of stuff she loves that are above the Seahawks? Like, I just look at her tattoo.
Oh, I was
and I'm
wondering
like,
that as well, Mina. Were you thinking about Lenny and not your husband? Is that what you were thinking about?
I have family members who watch this show, so I will not be responding to that question. Just kidding. None of them watch.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
I just want to go back in time and tell a young Mina Kimes that not only will Tony Dungy eventually try and fail to dunk on you on Twitter one day, but then you will go on TV and get the chance to explain why he's wrong.
The champion high priest of football, Tony Dungy.
Highly Questionable is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if Tony Dungy is being a hater?
All right, so Tony Dungy has Tom Brady sixth on his all-time quarterbacks list. This is on a podcast with Shannon Sharp. Let's see why it is Tom Brady is number six.
You had a ranking. You said that Brady was the sixth most difficult quarterback in NFL history to defend. Do you still agree with your ranking? And why do you say he was the sixth most difficult quarterback to defend?
I'm not going to go by statistics or whatever. I'm going to go by who was toughest on me.
Right.
So now I got to start. I'm never putting Tom Brady ahead of Peyton Manning. So the best he can be is two. Because Peyton was my guy. Aaron Rodgers, John Elway, Steve Young, guys who could move. Not to say Tom wasn't great. He is great. But that extra dimension meant right. something to me. So that's why I would only put him at six. Just my opinion.
Shocking, controversial splitting of hairs by Tony Dungy there, putting Tom Brady sixth. What an insult. What do you find interesting about this, Mina?
Well, first, Brady's response. Can we pull that up?
Oh, we have that. Let's check that out.
Wow.
Okay. So this is, of course, the iconic image of the Colts 2014 AFC finalist banner they raised. I just want to start here. Are any of us surprised by how good Tom Brady or whoever his assistant is at Twitter? Pablo, like, that is an incredible dunk.
Yeah, that's not Tom Brady. He has a guy. He has an Alex Guerrero type who is giving him performance enhancements on social media, absolutely.
I want to go back to the original question, which was, is Tony Dungy a hater? Because we had Tom Brady dunking on Tony Dungy. The answer for me is yes, because Tony Dungy tried to dunk on me on Twitter once this year.
What?
Okay.
Really?
So,
you made this about
yes,
you?
Yes.
You made this about you.
It is literally about me. I have a personal experience to bring to the table because I was trying to explain why Mike McCarthy was right to go for two down nine. Originally, they were down 15. Tony Dungy, who on that earlier video says, I hate statistics, responds by saying it's better to be trailing by seven, which is why you shouldn't go for two, which I, okay, look, right. I really can expect.
Here we go.
Mina, this, there were too many, it's hard for me to say this. There were so many words in that I got bored. Like, that's
hold
your
on.
Beef? Like,
hold
that's
on. Mina,
entirely
what's the
indecipherable
point?
Football
Mina, condense
nerdery.
It
what,
for what? Us. You got math better than Tony Dungy? Did you just math flex on Tony Dungy?
I love Tony Dungy is a great coach and I respect him, but he's wrong. Like, it is better to know if you need to score twice rather than to wait until the end of the game. I just want to go back in time and tell a young Mina Kimes that not only will Tony Dungy eventually dunk, try and fail to dunk on you on Twitter one day, but then you will go on TV and get the chance to explain why he's wrong.
The champion high priest of football, Tony Dungy. You caught him on a point, Mina. Congratulations. You took one fraction of math from him, and you're a little more right than champion patron saint Tony Dungy. That was confusing. I'm glad you did that.
I mean, there was a whole paragraph. I was like, wait a minute. Fives? I'm surprised. If what? Five? Go on.
Do you want me
six?
To explain it to you? If you're down 15, you're.
Yes. Explain
you're
it.
Gonna,
yes,
okay,
explain
okay.
it.
Yeah, I'm about to explain it. You're going to have to get a 2-point conversion at some point, right? So you can either kick the extra point now and wait until the end of the game to try to get the 2-point conversion or figure out now. You figure out now if you get it, and if you get it, great, you only need to score a touchdown. But if you don't get it, you know that you need to score twice. So it's really just about trying to, like, delay the inevitable is what Tony Dungy was advocating. Oh, stop it. Oh, stop. I'm not going to miss this. I am not going to miss this, Dan.
Highly Questionable is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. On Friday afternoon, Vikings and Saints.
All right, whole bunch of football coming your way. Weird times, weird days, weird hours. A lot of football in your face. Justin Jefferson has been very good this year for the Vikings. The Vikings should be better. The receivers are very good. Quarterback, I still don't know. But Justin Jefferson, here he is, mic'd up.
Cousins on the move. Throws high for Jefferson. And wait.
That couldn't feel good at the end to be Kirk Cousins. Mina, are you intrigued?
Of course I'm intrigued. I am going to miss the enhanced audio we've gotten this season of hearing players say these sort of things. I'm also going to have, I'm going to miss having football on like every day, right? I know that it is born out of troubling circumstances to say the least, but the other week it was like a Wednesday and there was no football. And I felt so sad and empty. Like, what am I supposed to do right now? Spend time with my family? Like,
Pablo, are you intrigued, Pablo?
I just like how Mina, when she is her most desperate, is like, where is the tape for me to grind? If there is no tape to grind, who am I even? So, no, I'm not nearly as intrigued. I will point out also, like, for all the enhancement of the audio that Mina brought up here, we don't really know what he said at the end. We're just kind of using confirmation bias to assume that actually, oh, this dude definitely hates Kirk Cousins, as opposed to, oh, this dude is a wide receiver yelling at a quarterback, which has happened approximately 9 billion times in the course of NFL history.
In the NBA tonight, Heat at Magic.
All right, so Orlando is Jimmy Butler's city. He came to superstardom. If he was not a star before, it felt like he became one in Orlando. So he says this is his joint, this city. They play at the Magic tonight. What's he doing here?
Big face in the morning.
Okay, very good. Not a lot there. Pablo, okay, very good. He's selling us coffee. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I guess. I just want to point out that if, like, anybody but Jimmy Butler just says, big face coffee, like, we dislike that person, right?
We We wouldn't televise it, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mina, are you intrigued?
No.
Oh no. Here we go. Here comes a bad joke. Let's see what lands here. She can't get it out. Hold on a second. It's been a while since this happened. Oh, here we go.
Is big face in the morning what you used to say when you were single?
It's a shocking end to the show today. Shocking. Shocking!
I'm so sorry! I'm so sorry, Dan.
That's Mina Kimes. You can check her out. The Mina Kimes show featuring Lenny, Pablo Torre, ESPN Daily. Also, got one more highly questionable left. If you want me or Poppy, I'm going to give you a little sprinkle of Poppy here, but also check us out, Levitard and Friends Network, after January 4th. Here's a little Poppy to send your way for the week.
Tonight is the night. The Heat begin their march to another title. We're going to dominate Orlando tonight, just like the bubble. The Heat are better without fans, just like the playoff last year. And also game six of the 2013 finals. We don't even have to worry about LeBron this year. Now, he has an ankle boo-boo. Wah! 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 Duncan Robinson, f***ing flamethrower. Hey, Pablo, you're begging the 76ers to trade for James Harden. We don't even want that loser.
Wow.
Although, I do want to go to Magic City with him. Hey, Giannis, I'm glad you're rich now because you're never going to win. Loser. Pat Riley's a god, executive of the year, Jimmy Butler, MVP, Espo, coach of the year, and my favorite Filipino son, Ire Pablo, Bam Adebayo, defensive player of the year, Tyler Hero, most improved player, Precious, rookie of the year. I have a prediction. The Miami Heat are going to go 72-0, 2021 NBA champions. Papi is out. I'm going to go and get some big face coffee.